stories told of a elderly minister that was noted for, seemed like always being able to preach just the exact amount of time. Never too short, never too long. Always just perfect. And then one Sunday, it seemed as if he was going to preach an eternity. And when he finally concluded, someone asked him, said, "What went wrong?" He said, "Well, for years now, it's been a practice of mine, just when I take the pulpit, to put a breath mint in my mouth and put it over here in my cheek, and I preach till it dissolves, and when it dissolves, I'm through." And they said, "Well, what happened this morning?" He said, "I reached into my pocket and pulled out a spare button." Amen. I've got a breath mint in my mouth. Y'all pray it's not a button.
Yeah, let's pray.
What wonderful preaching today.
Yeah, it was great. It really was.
Happy to be here. Great to be here with so many friends and ministers, pastors. Thank you for taking time to drive the long miles and come and be with us. The Lord's helping us, isn't he? Glad to see Trav and Angel here.
Yeah.
My residence this week is at the Hackworth Hilton.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying life up on the hill. Thank him so much for opening their home to us.
Yes, we do.
And love and appreciate all of you. When I was a young boy, I lived down on the bayous.
Yeah.
And we learned that if you wanted to catch fish, you had to have a net. But there's something else you needed, and that is some poles. And you could go down to those narrow inlets and those small little bayous, and you could take that net and stake it down on one side, wade through those narrow inlets, cross that bayou, and stake that net on the other side. And then you had to be patient. You had to wait for the tide. And that the tide ebbing and flowing out would bring the fish into the net. In this service tonight, I'm going to try to put a stake in the ground over here, and then I'm going to pull that net to the other side of this building and stake a net over there, and then we're going to wait on Holy Ghost tide to come in and pray for conviction to give us souls in these altars. Will you lift your hands and ask God to do that right now, Lord? Send the Holy Ghost tide. Send your Holy Ghost in this room. Oh, God, would you move in these altars? Come to us, Lord. Save and deliver. Work, I pray. I've chosen three passages of Scripture. If you'd like to read with me first. First in Romans 5. Secondly in Zechariah 9, and then thirdly in the Revelation chapter 19. Romans chapter 5, see verse 6. Romans 5, 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Zechariah, please, chapter 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. The Revelation 19. The Revelation 19. See verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The Lord would stand by me tonight. I want to preach a message entitled, Here Comes the Calvary. Turn to your neighbor and say, Neighbor, hold on. Here comes the Calvary. In ancient medieval times, for a knight in King Arthur's army to aid a damsel in distress, for one of King Arthur's soldiers to rush to the aid of a young woman that was in grave danger, that was called chivalry. It was a code of conduct that they lived by. It was a moral code of conduct in that ancient medieval time that if there was one that was in danger, if there was one whose life was threatened, they showed courage and they went to them and rescued them from their dire distress. That was to be chivalrous and to show chivalry, to be gallant and have courage. And from that was derived the word Calvary. And of course, we interpret Calvary to mean armed, mounted horsemen that were a source of help. A regiment of soldiers that would come to the aid of. Special trained soldiers mounted on horses, armed and coming to those that needed rescue. Our American history is filled with story after story of the settlers that went westward, and on their westward trek, many times they would find themselves besieged. They would find themselves attacked by the Indians. And many times their rations would be depleted. Their water would all be gone. And when it seemed like that everything was hopeless and their hope of rescue was all taken away, someone would rally upon seeing the dust in the horizon and hear the blast of the bugle, and they would say, Here comes the Calvary. Here comes help. And the Calvary simply means a source of hope when it seems hopeless. A source of hope when it seems that there's no rescue in sight. I read recently of a young man that found himself in a desperate situation. His father had abandoned him, and his mother was godless. And as he turned to life to try to make something of himself, the only thing that his mom said were these words, Boy, you'll have to depend on yourself. You can't count on anybody because the Calvary ain't coming. I want to preach to someone tonight that the devil has lied to you. And the devil is telling you that it's not going to get better. Hell is perched on your shoulder. And the devil is whispering in your ear, There's no rescue this time. The devil would have you think that he will be victorious. But I want you to hold on. Calvary's coming. I want you to hold on. Your help is on the way. I want you to understand, please, that when it seems like the devil has us back in a corner, when it seems as if hell has our back to the wall, and it seems as if the devil has the victory over us, there's a God in heaven, and help will come just in time. Hold on, church. Calvary's coming. Hold on, church. Your deliverance is coming. Look at our text here, please, in Romans chapter 5. Look at these three verses, and I want to just try to work my way through the Word, if you'll help walk with me through these verses. Verse number 6, please. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See first the weakness of our strength, without strength, literally, literally without strength, spiritually, morally, in any way without strength. No ability in ourselves. We're helpless. We're weak. We're infirmed. And there's nothing we can do about our situation. We are without strength. Sin is like an infection that plagues us. The Bible says in Acts 5:15, they brought the sick into the streets. There it is. That's what that word means. Without strength. Infected by sin that plagues. You will agree with me, please, that we live in a sin-sick society. It's rampant. It is everywhere. You hear it on the airwaves. You see it on the billboards. Sin is no longer hidden. Sin is no longer in the corner. It's out in the day where everybody can see it. It's everywhere. Homosexuality, lesbianism, sickness everywhere, sickness of sin that plagues our society. It's everywhere. Look at our home lives, maimed, marked, and marred by sin. Everything around us tells us that we're in a sin-sick world and we need Calvary. We're in a sin-sick world and we need Calvary. We're in a world today where sin is so out in the open. Things that were once whispered, things that were once not mentioned in public, things that would have never been said in an audience, is now everywhere. Hollywood has done that to our society. The radio, the media, technology has put it right in the hands of our children. And my friend, may I say, if your children have smartphones, if your children have technology, and you do not monitor, and you do not watch what they are doing with that piece of technology, you don't have the sense of a retarded chigger. Can you say amen? Sin rampant, sin everywhere, like an infection that plagues, and things that we thought we would never have to deal with, we're having to deal with. Things that should not be issues are now issues. Things that were never questioned, things that were not up for debate, things that we did not waffle on, now because of compromise and complacency and cold-hearted Christians, we have issues in the church that we should have never had to deal with. And I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. And we need Calvary. We need a rescue. We need God to come to us. Sin is like an infection that plagues. And the sad thing about it is the innocent, our children, are the ones that suffer. Sin is an infirmity that paralyzes. In Acts 4:9, there was an impotent man. And that word there, impotent, is the same as without strength. Without strength. Down and can't get up. Halted. hampered, handicapped, hindered, and our children are crippled. Our children are infirmed. But where did they get it from? Why are our children in the situation that they're in? And I hear myself sometimes, and I hear our preachers sometimes talk about our children. And I've really tried to caution myself that maybe the message needs to go to the parents, because our children will do what we allow them to do. They will wear what we allow them to wear. They will go where we allow them to go. They will indulge in what we allow them to indulge. So my message is that we do not have delinquent children. We have delinquent parents. We have parents that are failing on the job. We have parents that are falling short, and there's an infection in the church house, and it's caused an infirmity in our families. Hey church, we need Calvary. We need a rescue. We need deliverance. The weakness of our strength. Verse 6, without strength. Verse 7 now, the wickedness of our sin. First, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man will some even dare to die. For whom did Christ die? He died for the ungodly. Irreverent, without God, not wanting God, no care for God. Before we ever wanted Him in our lives, Christ died for us. Before we ever wanted Him, He died for us. Before I ever knew I needed Him, He died for me. Prevenient grace. Grace that foresaw, grace that foreknew, and grace that prepared for what I would need before I ever even wanted Him in my life. Christ died for me. The ungodly, a world of ungodliness, that's who He died for before I even wanted Him. Louis Albert Banks tells the story of that prodigal boy who broke his mother's heart. And many times his dad would receive word from someone in town, "Your boy's drunk and in the ditch." And that dad would go and pick that drunk boy up out of the ditch, cleanse him from the vileness and the filth of his drink and his sickness, and bring him home and put him to bed. Again and again, that dad would do that. One night, the mother of the house awoke, and she realized that her husband was not there in the room with her. And she searched about till she found him upstairs in that drunk boy's room. It had been the same thing all over again. A drunk found in the ditch, and he picks him up and cleans him up and brings him home, only for that boy to curse and swear and rant and rave at his dad. But that particular night, she finds him kneeling beside that drunk boy's bed, and he's praying for him, and tears are rolling out of his eyes, and he's caressing his head, and he senses that his wife is in the room, and she looks as if to say, "What are you doing?" He says to her, "He won't let me love him when he's awake, so I come up here and love him while he sleeps." Amen. And so is the love of God. When we didn't even want Him, Christ died for us.
before we ever wanted him in our life. When we were without him, we had no desire. Before we ever worshiped him as Lord, he didn't wait until I began to worship him to do what he'd done for salvation in my life. He didn't wait until I got cleaned up. He didn't wait till I turned my life around. But before I ever worshiped him as Lord, before I ever acknowledged he was Lord, Christ died for the ungodly. Somebody ought to praise him. He died for you before you ever wanted him. He died for you before you ever worshiped him. Hallelujah. All the weakness of our strength. All the wickedness of our sin. Verse number 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. And then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely. Watch that word, scarcely. For scarcely. Meaning hardly a chance. With difficulty would one die for a righteous man. How unusual. Think, please. How unusual the reason of his dying. God, supreme deity. How unusual the reason of his dying. God, holy. God, eternal. God, commendeth his love. That word commendeth is a beautiful word. It's a word picture. That same meaning is found where Jesus was transfigured and there stood with him. Watch that. There stood with him Moses and Elias. That's what that word commendeth is, to stand by. It's one that comes and stands by. It's the picture of an advocate, a lawyer. One that stands on behalf of. When we were wretched, when we were wicked, when we were unwanted, when we were unworthy, God commendeth his love. His love come stood by us. His love come stood by us. I had no strength to stand, but his love stood me up. Oh, his love was there to uphold me. His love was there to uphold me when I was so unworthy and I was so unwanted. It was his love that came to where I was. I have a friend who retired from nursing, 40 years in nursing, and once they brought a man into ER that was drunk, filled with drugs, and just as they brought him into ER, he coded, and he began to choke to death. She literally got up on top of that gurney, cleansed the vomit out of his mouth, cleaned his sinuses, and began to put life into him and administer CPR. And finally she got a heartbeat, and there was a young intern there that said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. Whereupon she said, I wouldn't either, but I'd do it to save a life. And that's what Christ did. Amen. Outside of a city wall at a place called Calvary. I want to tell you, aren't you glad Calvary came? Aren't you glad for Calvary? You may think that your marriage is a wreck and it's a hopeless situation. Hold on. Here comes the Calvary. You may think it can't be fixed. It can't be redeemed. Hold on. Here comes the Calvary. Some years ago, I went to a gun show and I bought a pair of Berettas. That's something spiritual, Brother John. I bought these pair of pistols from an individual. He said, "Hey, I just remembered I've got ammo that goes with those guns." So I gave him my address, and he promised to come see me. A few days later, Raymond Calhoun knocked on my door. I knew that he was a parole officer and a Vietnam veteran. I knew that. And so while we engaged in conversation that day, some of the party there that was visiting asked Raymond Calhoun, "Did you ever hear of Carlos Hathcock?" I see you nodding, Bob. One shot, one kill. 93 known kills. Immediately there was an eerie silence that came into that living room of mine. Raymond Calhoun, it seemed as if his mind went back decades. And he said, "I was once called in on a detail to pull Hathcock out after he had made a kill." He said, "I was in a helicopter and there were 8 of us." He said, "We had Carlos Hathcock's location. We had received word that he had made his kill, and we knew his location." He said, "We came in." He said, "The helicopter dropped as close as he dared, and we bailed out. We had 90 seconds. Amen. He said, "We secured the perimeter, and we started the count. He said, at 90 seconds, no Hathcock. And we thought, well, then they must have got him. And as we ran back to the copter, Hathcock came up out of the ground. He had buried himself in the ground, face up, and covered himself with a grass mat. And just as we were about to pull up, he come up out of the ground, jumped into the copter, set his gun in the rack, and real coolly said, 'Don't you think it's time we get out of here?' At the very last second, the cavalry came. And may I say, hell would want you to believe that the devil has got his sights on you and it's the coffin for you. But the devil is a liar, and I am glad. Hold on. Calvary's a coming. In this very meeting, God is able to give victory. In this very meeting, God is able to give deliverance." Would somebody shout amen? Here comes the Calvary.
Harold Begbie. He wrote Twice Born Men. He said that Bartown was the wickedest town of all England. And he said in that most wicked town, Bartown, England, there was a doctor that was the most degenerate and the most depraved, the most ungodly man that there was. And he was a doctor that had lost his profession because of drink. The old doctor's name was Blund. Blund came down to die. And his wife was a praying woman. And she knew that her husband's time was short. So she rushed to find the preacher. His name was Rodwell. Richard Rodwell. He was a new preacher. He was a school preacher. He was an educated preacher. And she met him on the street and said, "Reverend Rodwell, my husband's dying. Come quick." Immediately there was a sense of distaste and disgust in the mind and the heart of that young minister. He thinks within himself, "Why, that old doctor
has burned the candle for the devil his whole life. Drink has ruined his profession, brought his home and wife to poverty, and now here, as he's dying, she wants me to try to talk to him about salvation. But nevertheless, because it was his calling, he went to the bedside of the dying drunk. He gets there and he begins to rehearse scripture that he called from memory. But there's no conviction. There's no compassion. And finally the old drunk said, "Say, preacher, isn't there something in the good book about being born again? Isn't there something in the good book about being born again?" And the minister's taken aback. He don't know how to answer. And then the drunk drives the question home and says, "Preacher, have you been born again?" Richard Rodwell, embarrassed, rushes out of the house. And out on the street, he meets Simon Airy, the old retired preacher. And he tells the old retired preacher, "You'll have to go talk to him." And so the story goes that just at the closing of the door, just at the setting of the sun, at that last moment of life, the old retired preacher shows the drunk how to get in. Somebody say praise the Lord. Richard Rodwell is out on the street and he confides in Beatrice Haley. That was the young woman he was engaged to. He said, "Beatrice, it just don't make sense. I don't understand. It don't seem fair. How can a man live a life of wickedness and get saved right at the last?" And Beatrice said, "Richard, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Deathbed repentance does not remit for a life of sin, but Calvary does." Woo! Give him praise right now. Calvary does. Calvary does. When we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Hold on. Here comes the Calvary. Calvary can turn it around. Calvary can turn it around. Give God praise in the room. Calvary can turn it around. Stand with me all over the house. Get me a song. Put your hands up into the air and ask God to send conviction. Oh, God. All right. Pray with me, church. Pray with me, church. Hold on. Here comes the Calvary. In Zechariah 9:9, he comes riding in on the foal. In the Revelation 9:19-11, he's on a white horse. Hold on, church. One of these days, Jesus is going to change horses. Somebody ought to give him praise in the house. And right at the last minute, here comes the Calvary. Yow! Right now, what I've got on my mind is this altar service. It matters not what you're going through. It matters not where you're at. All you need is Calvary to come to where you're at. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You that know how to labor with the man of God. You that know how to help the preacher. Let's put our hearts together. Let's make a net. I don't want anyone to be lost. This won't take long if you'll just mind the Holy Ghost. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm just like Carlos Hathcock. I'm down and I'm pinned in and I can't get out. All you need is help from above. You need Calvary to come for you. It's going to take some effort on your part. Pray with me, church. Here's what you got to do. You got to step out in that aisle. And you got to come to this altar. And you need to do it right now. Come on. I'm expecting you to. You need to. You come wanting to. Pray with me, church. This meeting is the deal breaker. Pray, King Mountain, pray. Pray God will give me the words to say. It's now or never. You got to have help now. Come on, church. Pray, church. In the name of Jesus. I want you to make a break for it right now. Church, put a hand up into heaven and ask God to send conviction. And then, now, Lord, I want you to give someone liberty. You're worth waiting on, so we're going to wait. But really, you know what you need to do. So come on right now. While our sister sings, this is your altar.
Every mountain preacher, seems too high.
I fell so miserably, I'm ashamed. What can I do to merit forgiveness? You can't. Calvary does. Calvary does. Let's worship him a little while, church. If we'll worship, God will work. We'll worship, God will work.
Sometimes we
step out from where you're at right now. Come on. Come on.
My life is built on this desire. Through the flood and through the fire. Jesus rescues me.
Settle in on us, Holy Ghost. Don't get impatient, church. I've tried to be brief. I was racing as fast as I could for this altar. I want to be able to take all the time I need.
Dreams are lost at sea.
Somebody needs to mind the Holy Ghost in this place. Have your way, Lord. Jesus, I want you to come. If you'll make a break, you're going to be surprised at how much help there is for you tonight. If you'll make a break, you're going to be surprised at how much help there is for you tonight. Your turn. Here comes the Calvary.
Jesus rescues me when every mountain seems too high, when every river looks too
I'm waiting on you.
I'm waiting on. Holy Ghost, pray with me, church. Let's work this altar. Let's work this altar.